Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. The book of Philemon, chapter number 1. Amen. Chapter number 1. In verse number 8 it says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me, therefore, a partner, receive him as myself. If ye have wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." Amen. Philemon had a slave named Onesimus. And he's run. And we all have either been slaves or are slaves yet. If we have not trusted Christ, the Bible tells us about our bondage in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 8 that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Amen. We were in bondage. We were trapped. We were caught. We were enslaved to sin. And God, amen, by His mercy and grace, God saved us, delivered us. He brought us out. And this morning we want to look at a few of these verses here that we read and speak to you about from slave to free man. From slave to free man. And I want to say that, first of all, Christianity has compassion on the erring. Christianity should have compassion on the erring. In verse 10 and 11, here it tells us, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me." Paul here is making a plea. He said, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus." Now, he has run away. He is an unprofitable servant. And he has run. And Paul here is speaking on his behalf. Jesus tells us in His Word that He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He said that He came into the world to save the world. He didn't come to condemn the world because the world was condemned already. It was already in trouble, already in a mess. And so He came that mankind might be set free. We were already in bondage. We were already in slavery to sin. And Jesus came to speak on our behalf and to set us free from the power of sin. John chapter 8 and verse 7 tells us, "So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He is without sin among you. Let him first cast a stone at her. John chapter number 8. The woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, it said, and they brought her to Jesus, and they said, here's what Moses and the law says. And, you know, Jesus actually just kind of ignored them there, and they continued on. And here it said, he rose up, he lifted up his head, and he said to them, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. Jesus didn't say she did not deserve death. The law said that she did, and Jesus did not dispute that fact. But Jesus didn't come. He came to save folks, to help folks, to deliver folks. Amen. The Pharisees, as they brought her to Jesus, they didn't have any care one way or the other about what happened to her. Their only concern was to try to entrap Jesus. But Jesus said, ye that's without sin, and of course, he looked back down and he began writing in the dirt again. And when he looked back up, there was just him and the woman. And he asked her, where are thine accusers? And she said, I have none. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. He said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Amen. Compassion for those that are on the outside, those that are in places that we ourselves used to be. Christianity should have compassion for those and look to save those that are dying. Because Jesus died for us, the Bible tells us, when? While we were yet sinners. Fanny Crosby in her song, she put it this way. We sing this sometime, rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. You see, Onesimus was running, but he found grace. Or might I say, grace found him. Amen. And he was saved. Salvation came to him while he was yet on the run. Amen. There's a lot of slaves to speak today. A lot of folks that God has created in this world. And amen. But they're on the run. They're on the run. But amen. Christianity should be compassion on those that are erring, because we ourselves at one time was on the other side. Amen. And God had mercy upon us. Secondly, the Christian benefactor, ourselves, we should remember the forgiveness that we received. In verse 19 and 20, Paul writes, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. So Philemon would have been a slave unto sin up until this time, except, amen, for the ministry of Paul, except what had happened in his own life. Amen. And God had saved him. And Paul is reminding him here, I want you to put yourself in his position. I want you to remember how it was for you and where you were. Remember what God done for you. Remember the grace that was shown unto you. And so we as Christians should always bear in mind and remember the fact that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Amen. We've not always done that we should have either. Amen. But God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And Paul is reminding Philemon of that. And so he was like us all. At some point he was running. But God. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 12, it says that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And this is what Paul is wanting to recall to Philemon, to his mind, and how he lived and acted before Christ. But now, amen, he has received Christ, and his life, it has completely changed. He's no more without Christ, but he has Christ. Amen. He's no more an alien, but amen, he's a fellow heir of Christ. He didn't have a hope and a promise, but now he has a hope and a promise of life everlasting because of God. And he said, I want you to recall to your mind these things when it comes time in dealing with this runaway slave, Onesimus. And so we as Christians should remember being forgiven. Amen. To be forgiven. Christianity also is a partnership in the divine, and it invites all to come. Christianity is a partnership in the divine. And listen, there's something here that Paul is wanting Philemon to know. He says, Onesimus is coming back. Maybe he departed for a season that you could receive him forever. The relationship now, he said, is different. What's different? Because now that divine grace that you had partaken of, so is he. That how God saved you. And so he begins to tell him in verses 17 and 18. He said, if thou count me, therefore, a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Put that on mine account. He says, Paul says, reckon or impute that to me. This debt of Onesimus was assumed by Paul. Paul said, whatever it is that he owes you, he said, put it on my account. Put it to me. Now then, Onesimus and not Paul had done the wrong. Paul hadn't done anything wrong. Onesimus had. And that wasn't going to change. You know what? I'm the one that done wrong. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. That's never going to change. It was me. Secondly here, Paul was not guilty of it or blameworthy for it. It would be true forever that Onesimus and not Paul had done the wrong. And amen, that's the case. I mean, Paul says put it to my account, but that didn't mean that he was the one that did the wrong. He was not guilty. But amen, but Paul, thirdly, Paul assumed the debt and the wrong to himself. He was willing, by putting himself in the place of Onesimus, to bear the consequences and to have Onesimus treated as if he had not done it. And once the debt was assumed by Paul, now Paul could be held responsible. Paul said, I'll pay it. Whatever he owes, he said, I'll pay it. Now then, Jesus died for my sins and for your sins. He never sinned. But he said unto the Father, I'll pay it. I'll go to Calvary. The wages of sin is death. I will assume the debt of all those that believe on my name. He said, I'll take that debt unto myself. And so he came and he assume the debt for all those that would believe. Fourthly here, if Paul had not assumed this himself, it never could have been right for Philemon to charge it to him. See, if Paul hadn't said, if Paul hadn't agreed that, listen, I'll pay the debt, it couldn't have been rightly assigned to Paul by Onesimus or by Philemon or by anyone else. It wasn't his debt. He didn't do any wrong. You know, here, it's been a good while back now, but I remember some business, and we got a bill here at the church because there's several churches in the surrounding area. There's three or four that's got very close to the same name, you know, maybe one word dropped here, one word there, and we've got a bill that didn't belong to us. And I had to go and show it, you know, to the business owner, and he looked at it and he said, yeah, he said, I know I have. He said, it's not yours. There was no expectation for us to pay somebody else's bill. We hadn't assumed responsibility for that bill, and therefore I went and I took it over there and they sent it to the proper place, and the one that had charged the merchandise and received the merchandise paid the bill. And no matter what had happened, no one had any right to charge this debt unto Paul except Paul himself. Aren't you glad that the Savior voluntarily assumed the place of man? Jesus volunteered. Jesus submitted to come and to take the place of mankind, and God reckoned it so. He did not hold Christ guilty or blameworthy in the case, but he had volunteered to take the place of the sinner. He volunteered to take my place. And guess what? Though he was innocent, though Pilate said, I find no fault in him, he was treated as a sinner. He was treated as me. He was treated as you, as sinners. He took our place. He assumed that responsibility and that role, and he said, I will take his per place. And he died upon the cross. The wages of sin is death. He paid the debt. He paid what we owe. Jesus paid our sin debt to bring us from a place of slavery unto a place of freedom. To bring us to a place of separation from God, to a place of union with God. And this is what Paul is doing here. This is what Paul is telling to Philemon here. He said, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. You know what? I had an account that I couldn't pay. I couldn't. You had an account you couldn't pay too. Every Christian that's ever been born into the kingdom of God, they were there, they were born again because the account, amen, they couldn't settle. We sing the song that I got an account that was settled long ago. Amen, because Jesus met us and he assumed and he paid our account. Paul said, put that to my account. And that's what Jesus did. He said, put it to my account. I mean, it'd be like somebody owing $1 million and saying, I tell you what, just put that on Chris's account and let him pay it. Let me tell you, that check would bounce. It wouldn't do any good. The debt would never get paid. It would be impossible. And see, I had a debt way more than $1 million worth when it comes to sin. We had a debt that we could not pay. And Jesus said, put that on my account. And he took and he paid my sin debt. And Paul said, this is what I'm doing. Listen, we're partners. He's telling Philemon. And he said, take him and whatever he owes you. He said, I'll pay it. He said, I'll pay it. I'll pay that debt. But he said unto him in the middle part of verse 19, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own selves besides. He's telling Philemon what it is that he owes himself. And basically what he's telling him, what Paul's telling him is in a sense you could say that you owe everything to me. You know what? You know we owe everything to God. Amen. We owe everything to Christ for what He has done for us, for the possibilities that He's given and made us in Christ Jesus. And here in these verses, the last thing and what I want us to see this morning is what Christianity does. Christianity raises the worst of slaves to the highest freedom. In verse 15, it says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." Now, not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved. Especially to me. But how much more unto thee, but in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Receive him as myself. Don't receive him as a slave. Don't even receive him as a pardoned slave. Don't just receive him as a free man, but receive him as you would receive myself. Receive him as you would receive the apostle of God, Paul himself. Receive him as you would receive me. Galatians 4 and 14 tells us, "And my testimony which was in my flesh you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Receive him, he said, as mine own self. Receive him just like you would me. Well, listen, there's something that happened. Something that happened in this occasion. He said in verse 16, "Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved." Things have changed. Why have they changed? Because, amen, just like God saved you, Philemon, God has saved Onesimus, and now he's more than just a servant unto you. Amen, he's a brother. I read a little story. They were in the jail. They was doing jail ministry. There were several that was in the jail. This particular individual was the head of the jail ministry. He had to catch a plane. He was supposed to meet with the governor. They were running out of time, and so he said they sang their last hymn, "Amazing Grace." And he said as they sang that song, he said, boy, as soon as it was over, he dismissed them, and he said to his team that was with him that day, "Let's go." And he said, we got to the place to where you have to lock out and lock in, and they had it. He said, we were there, and everybody had to be there before they could, you know, take care of everything. And he said, they turned around, and there was one fellow that was missing. He said, a old gray-haired man was back over here, and he called him Mr. Brewer, who was on death row. And he said, he went back and told him, he said, we got to go. We got to go. He said, the gray-haired man looked at him and said, give us just a minute. He said, this is very important. He said, they were looking and they were reading a verse. He said, standing shoulder to shoulder. And he said, I told him, we don't have time. We have to go right now. We have no more time. We have to go. And the gray-haired old man looked at him. And he said, my name's Judge Thomas. And he said, I'm the man, I'm the judge that sentenced him to death. And he's fixing to have to go to the death chamber. He said, we need just a minute. Because he's more than just an inmate on death row. He said, he's my brother. And they said the inmate could have took the old man and killed him just with one quick crunch. But he said they stood shoulder to shoulder reading God's word with tears running down their cheeks. What made the difference? Somewhere, somebody along the way, boy, you save somebody that's on death row, God can save. God can. God can. Because God can take the worst slave and make a free man out of him. It didn't rescue him from the death row. He had to go and fulfill that. That was some of the things he reaped of this life. He still had that sentence passed and he had to go to death row, but he didn't have to go alone. And the very judge that sentenced him was one of the last people that stopped with him and had prayer with him and read the Word of God, because he said, he's my brother. Paul saying here, Onesimus was a slave, and I know he ran away, but by God's grace, he was found of Paul and converted to the faith and changed his life forever. And amen, what a blessing it is this morning that runaway slaves, amen, that still running from God can be found and be converted and be gloriously saved by the grace of God. I'd ask you this morning, if you will, just stand with us for just a minute. If you'll just stand, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, while we wait just a minute. Amen. From a slave to a free man. Only God can do that in this spiritual realm and set men free. While we wait this morning, if you have a need for anything this morning, if you have a need to pray, while we wait, I pray you come.